Here's the news in 60 seconds from yumadailynews.com. State and local officials have been reminding people living in Arizona to watch closely for school buses that are loading and unloading children now that school is back in session. ADOT has estimated that drivers ignore that sign around 13,000 times a year, which is a $250 fine. More info, yumadailynews.com. YCSO has been informing the Yuma community about the new drugs going around town. Young adults and teens have been overdosing in Arizona on these pills disguised as fentanyl. They are referred to as Skittles or rainbow pills. Kids, let's not taste the rainbow. Read more about the drugs, yumadailynews.com. The Padres had their day off yesterday. Now today, they're in Kansas for their three-day game series against the Royals. Today's game is at 5:10. Listen to the games live on AM 560 KBLU and get the latest Padres news at yumadailynews.com. If you have ideas for a local news story, you can always send us an email. That email is newsroom@yumadailynews.com. Go ahead and send us your story and we'll take a look. That's the news for now. I'm Kendra White.
Dry weather expected for us here through the weekend. All the shower and thunderstorm activity today looks like it'll be well north and east of our area. Lots of sunshine for us, although we could see a few clouds from time to time. A light south breeze today at times. Temperatures all the way up to around 106 again this afternoon, right about where we should be this time of year. Clear skies, warm tonight. Temperatures drop down into the mid-80s. Another sunny day Saturday with a south breeze, especially through the afternoon. High 106, sunny 104 Sunday. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone at the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group, Derek Egberg, Academy Mortgage. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, good. Another beautiful day in Yuma.
Absolutely.
Yep, got a little rain, so that's good for the desert.
We've had a lot of rain in August. It's been an unusual amount of rain for August.
I wonder how much that falls back into the lakes up north, or they just go into the ground somewhere.
There has been a lot. I mean, Lake Mead has actually gone up about 3 feet in this last few weeks because of all the rain. You know, it isn't going to help the 20-foot drop so far this year, but I mean, it did.
Someone told me it's all about the snow for those lakes.
It is. That's true.
So, anyways, we're talking about what's going on in the economy. One of the big breaking news this morning is the market's down pretty heavy. But the Fed's chairman Powell came out and pretty much reinforced that they're gonna continue to raise rates to keep inflation down, and that this could have a negative effect on growth on the economy. So I think people were hoping that he might be a little bit more lenient on not raising rates as much, but he kind of brought his foot down, and the market's not responding so well. But not a surprise to me, because if they don't get this thing right, inflation continues on, it's going to get worse.
Well, I think, and Russ, you were talking about this last segment, but we just did the opposite thing to help inflation. You're saying we're going to keep making debt more expensive, and really the only thing you can do to tame inflation is to make debt more expensive or get more people unemployed. But now if you're going to give out, depending on whose estimates, but we think it's $500 billion worth of free money to get rid of student loans, is that money not going to cause people to go out and spend more because they feel like they have less debt? So one person says we're going to raise rates to curb inflation, and then somebody else within the same system says, hey, let's give out a bunch of free money.
It goes against each other.
There's no way that helps inflation if that's the real issue.
And then the other thing is, I hear that from an executive standpoint, it's questionable if he can do it. And then I also heard that it can be retracted by somebody in the Congress or even maybe the next president. So to me, it's kind of false to tell people, hey, you don't have to pay it. And then who knows, down the road, they might have to pay it.
Well, truthfully, because the power of the purse does rest with Congress. It's not
normally
with the president.
Normally.
Correct. So unless he's going to use some kind of emergency powers.
Heroes Act, which is triggered because of healthcare emergency COVID, which doesn't really exist except that nationally they've declared it.
which I thought they said that we were in a robust economy and things were growing and everything was great. So isn't it interesting?
So have you noticed the hypocrisy yet?
It's weird.
Well, yeah, pretty cool.
And not only talking about the student loan thing, money, you know, free money back to the people that have the loan, but also this Inflation Act that they just passed. Now you read in the details of that, that's going to cause it's not going to decrease inflation. So that's another false.
And being cynical, you say, how many pages is that act? When you say reading through the act, you know how few people have actually read that cover to cover and actually paid attention to the amount of money that's going to be spent in that?
I think Russ Clark has.
You would be wrong. but no.
How about your fact checker?
Yeah, he has. He read every page. Yeah.
But I think there's a real issue with people, you know, basically continuing on the lifestyle they had a year ago or so, and basically slowly realizing at the end of the month the money's not there. So it means a couple things. Either people are going to have to try to either get a second job or work overtime. I don't know if their employer allows extra time, but that's what they're going to have to do. Or if it's a joint household, maybe if one of them's not working, another reason to have, you know, work some time. I know the jobs numbers came out for July, and they're really, really high. And there was reporting on there that it was people getting a second job.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily, you know, people out getting the first job.
I see you are. You're just hating the regime, and you're trying to read between the lines.
Well, so I don't know if you guys watched the debt on credit cards. Yeah. But it's pretty much at all-time high, which means people using their credit cards, which is kind of natural because when there's an increase in price, you know, no one wants to change their lifestyle. They want to go get Starbucks. They want to go out and eat.
But there's a limit, you know, that people don't realize.
Yeah,
it takes
about 6 months before it dawns on them, gee, my credit card is up to X. Now I got to make some hard choices or, you know, cuts.
Better go see you guys on how to manage my money better.
Yeah, and then, you know, the with rates going up, I mean, you know, the credit card arena, I haven't looked at it, but I'm sure that's high.
It's not a good time to have it.
Yeah, and I don't know that the credit card numbers in terms of interest rates have changed, but remember that people with mediocre credit, you were always seeing credit cards at 19, 20, 21%, 24.99% interest. So the sad thing, like you say, is the savings rate has dropped. There's little to no money in most people's savings accounts. So now that it's on credit, now they're going to start accruing the 18, 20, 24% interest that they weren't before. So those rates haven't changed, but the financial impact to the household, ridiculous.
But I would guess if rates have changed in the housing market and then the car market, I'm pretty sure the credit card guys are jumping on board. I mean, why would they not?
Well, they will have to.
Yeah.
I mean, money's going to be more expensive. It's going to be more expensive for them, too.
Yeah, I think they're maxed out. Hey, so this is a little question quiz. Where do you think our national debt was as of August 9th? Of this month.
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Zero clue.
Our national debt, well, you kind of know where it's at, right? Just throw a number. Wait,
say, 24 trillion.
Say 26 and a half.
29.6.
That's what I meant to say.
Actually, wow. I read the wrong number. 30.6.
It's at 30 trillion.
It's already at 30. And remember they said we're going to get that like 4 or 5 years from now?
Yeah.
Like 3 years ago? Yeah, it's
Well, we're better at spending money than we've ever been.
Which is amazing, isn't it? Hey, let's give out some free money at the same time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got a stat on the credit card debt against the student loans. And naturally, the student loan market has ballooned. But in 2003, the credit card debt was 3 times more than student loans. And then in 2010, it was about equal. It was about $750 billion for each one of them. And then as of June of 22, the student loans are $1.6 trillion and credit cards are $890 billion.
So I had $887, but from my fact checker.
Okay. Well,
you rounded up.
Yeah, this is from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. But anyways, it just shows what has happened with student loans. So, you know, you got to go back and think, okay, why would so much more debt go on? And it has to be that the purse strings were a lot looser. Yeah, I remember when I got my student loan, you know, I was hoping for a certain dollar amount, and it came in under by like $1,000, which I figured out. I worked a little bit in college, but so I think, you know, the loans just got, oh, you want this, stamp it, here's your money. And like you said, you even heard people going out buying cars and doing other things.
Having parties, taking trips, traveling, you know, name it.
Yeah. Yeah, see, when I got mine, the school billed the student loan, here's the amount that's needed. It was paid directly to the school. And if you didn't use even that at the school, it got sent back. There was no cash to me.
Yeah,
so like I say, I see bank statements all the time that here's deposits that's from student loans.
I'd forgotten that. It is sent to the school. Or, or a check is written to both or something, something like that.
And
I forgot.
Weren't able to touch it, and the rest of it just got sent back to the student loan.
Yeah. No, you're right. We didn't even touch it. Hey, one of my clients, like 3 years ago, he came into my office just kind of mad, and he goes, his son, who was going to ASU, came to this conclusion that student loans might be paid off, and he freaking went in and just maxed. I mean, he got as much money as he could. I think he ran up like 25,000 student loans, and the dad's like, and he didn't really need it because the dad was like kind of making payment or paying for it, but he's like, I can't believe this, you know, whatever. And then now the kid's probably laughing at his dad.
Well, I don't like the shell game. And the sad part, though, is, Russ, you were saying again last segment, how much of that is obligated to each taxpaying American?
$2,000.
Okay, so that kid who took out the loans thinks he's going to get $10,000 paid off, but he's still responsible for two, which means now his dad is responsible for two, probably mom is responsible for two. So they're still going to pay probably six of the 10. You know, and well, if grandma and grandpa are still alive, you're going to allocate another couple of grand to them. So your family's still paying it. It just doesn't feel like you're paying it.
And not only that, but the ones that are really getting the shaft are the ones that basically haven't gone to college at all.
We mean, really, we're all getting it.
Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m. And he looks at us and says, hey, darling, I can remember when you could
start with love. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg in studio with Tom Rush, Yuma Investment Group, Academy Mortgage. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning.
Russ Clark, color commentary over on the board. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so you were saying something off air, and this is kind of something we've alluded to. Now, people don't, you say the word inflation, and a lot of people don't really relate to that. It's a technical term that somebody on the news or somebody, you know, and a professor one time said inflation. If you go back, you just read a stat that the average home sales price in the United States right now was what?
$440,597.
Okay. If you go back 22 years to the year 2000, it was what?
$166,227.
Would that be called inflation?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you go back 100 years or 120 years, you know, because again, you look at population, and forgive me, but How old are you and how old is your daughter?
I'll be 65 in September.
Okay.
My daughter's 31.
Okay, so about a 30-year gap in the typical generation. So as you start going back 30 years each and every time, don't you wish your dad or your grandpa bought more homes, you know, two generations ago? You know, if you went back 100 years, don't you wish, Tom, that your family had bought 100 more homes here in Yuma, Arizona?
100, yes.
You know.
Wouldn't have been nice.
200, hey.
Well, just whatever it is. But, you know, you go back and you say, geez, you know, 120 years ago, the average home was $1,200.
But it's all relative. It's relative to what your pay is and upkeep.
So my dad, he got a master's in entomology, so he worked the summers out here in Somerton with John Jessen, who owns the Gowan Company. Mm-hmm. And basically he said he could have bought flood farmland off the Mesa for like $750 an acre. And now it's 40.
And he didn't do it.
And he didn't do it. Yeah.
And you go, thanks, Dad. But you go back to that. People don't realize how much things change until you actually start looking 20, 30 years backwards. I mean, what was gas two years ago?
Less than $2.
Okay, so $2. What's gas now?
Four, high fours. Yeah,
high fours. Let's call it 4.5. So more than 100% increase in gas. Until you start putting it in housing or gas or a gallon of milk, I think a lot of people have a hard time understanding what inflation really means. But that stat there. Now, what was the average interest rate back in 2000?
Like 3.
No. Higher, in the year 2000?
Oh, 2000. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking. So, 2 years ago.
So think of where you just said the average home was $166,000 in the year 2000, and interest rates were in the high sixes and low sevens then.
Okay.
Where we're still lower than that now, but now you've basically tripled the house price.
Yeah.
And interest rates are very comparable with where they were back then. Now, where are people's incomes though? We haven't said, you know, back in 2000.
I don't think they've kept pace with the housing market.
Well, I do know with the minimum wage going up the last 5 years, that definitely has helped those types of people.
We don't live on minimum wage, though.
We don't live on minimum wage, but if you look at a good barometer back in the year 2000, you were seeing, you know, minimum wage, if I remember right, was 4.25. At 2000, it was either 4.25 or 4.625. And now we're what nationwide?
I think upwards of 12.5 in Arizona or 13? I don't know.
I think it's 12.5 in Arizona. But I mean, if you look at 15, nationwide, it's probably averaging 15. So you've got a 3 times minimum wage. You've got a 3 times housing. It's interesting that you can say good and bad things about one, but you got to look at all of them all the way through.
And all those increases in taxes, like I know with the Inflation Act, they're going to tax companies that are making, you know, billions of dollars. All they're going to do is pass that on to the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another. But one thing I want to say about inflation, like you said, it's kind of an imaginary number that people can't hold. You know,
it's hard to grasp sometimes.
Yeah, because it's different in different areas, and it's. But I would say so. Let's just say hypothetically, you could retire today. If you had to retire today, I assume if you made the money you make today, you can technically say I could retire. If you pay me what I'm making today, I could retire, which is probably right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take average inflation over the last 30 years of 3%, which has been the average, that means your money is going to have to double in 20 years. So if you need 50 grand a day, you're going to need 100 grand in 20 years. Now, if you don't have the mechanism to have your income go up, double in 20 years, you got a problem. And that's where you see a lot of these older people that start off in retirement. You know, things are going along, mm-hmm. and then they realize prices are going up, and then they start pinching. And then by the time they're like 75 or so, they realize I'm kind of, besides making my house payment and my electric, I don't have much left over. So it's definitely a trap. And Social Security only goes up 1.5%, so that's not going to have. Arizona retirement doesn't go up at all. Yeah. Most pension plans don't go up at all. So people are really in a, they live long enough, they're going to fill it unless they have other means, like rental houses or some other...
Something else going on, for sure.
But people don't think that way. They just think, hey, I can retire. I mean, you know, I got my 50 grand. I get to retire. And they don't think about...
I just checked the average income in the United States from 2000 to 2022.
You know the best news? See, when I say things like that, I know you go right to your phone and you start pulling it up. So we've got like our little statistician over there.
But, you know, we saw the home price went from 166,000 up to 440.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more than 2.5 times, income went from 42,000 to 63,000.
50%.
That's it. They went up 50%. Homes almost between double and triple.
But I think with interest rates going from like 7% down to, you know, 2.5, 3,
right.
That's probably wasn't
equal. For a while,
equal.
Yeah. Maybe.
It probably
for
wasn't as big of a...
But now that we're seeing interest rates in, you know, again, here's what's funny. When you look at things, if you Googled right now, average mortgage interest rate, you're going to get taken to Freddie Mac puts a study out, and the one that they just released this week is the average interest rate is 5.55% with 0.8 discount points. And what people don't realize is that's typically with a above 740 FICO, with typically a 20 or 25% downstroke on an owner-occupied property. Now, most people who are doing VA, FHA, USDA, little to no money down, or have a less than stellar credit score, are not getting those. But when are those numbers booked? So, Russ,
at closing, I would assume.
You hear today you want a 5.55% interest rate. Russ Clark, do you personally have a home under contract?
No.
No. So when do you lock your interest rate?
A month before closing.
When you find a home, when you have an address, when you have a legal purchase contract.
Takes, you got to get all the
so
way there.
So all of these stats that we put out, cool, that tells me where the interest rates were basically last week. Because when they put that number out, that's the average rates that were offered the week before. Well, Tom, what did you just say Chairman Powell said today?
That the banks are going to be keep increasing rates to cool the economy and get inflation down.
Okay. So is the stock market up or down today?
Down pretty heavy.
Okay. And the bond market right now for our side is off another, we're going to call it down 9 basis points, which is worse for you and I as the consumer. So don't you wish you could have gotten what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac said was available last week?
Well,
I wish I could get, hey, Tom, I know you're not a magician, but can I buy Bitcoin at like $2 a coin? Can I buy Tesla at $10 a share? Because it was there at some point in the past, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. These numbers that people put out that are the week past or the month past or the year past doesn't do you and I any good.
People really need to just change their mindset on not looking at the past, because the past, you know, with interest rates, I don't think we're ever going to, you know, I don't think we're ever going to go back. I mean, 3%,
I think
we're going to die and not see 3%.
I think you could see some cyclical numbers. I mean, realistically, I wouldn't doubt that interest rates do hit in the high sixes, maybe even sevens again. And then at some point, they'll come back down. I pray we never see 30-year fixed mortgages in the high twos and low threes again, because it says we ruined the economy, we screwed up everything, and we basically had to support the average American's debt as a government. I mean, if you look at the amount of money that the Fed bought worth of bonds, both residential mortgage, commercial, junk bonds, the amount of money that the Fed is sitting on that they have to sell is ludicrous. I mean, you can't even fathom the number of digits. Now, how do they get their books back to zero?
Yeah, on how much they have to sell.
They have to sell it,
well,
which means,
it, yeah.
Okay, so when they start selling, what has to happen to the market?
So price of bonds go down, yields go up.
There you go. It has to soak it up, which means is when Chairman Powell says they're going to take a hard line and continue raising rates, they didn't even say anything about the $1 trillion worth of bonds that they're holding that they have to sell off into the market. They could literally raise interest rates, which they did. If you go back and look at the charts, they raised interest rates on you and I without raising them because they started selling. They literally in November said they're going to talk about selling bonds. And in March, they started selling bonds. When did you see spikes in interest rates? Weird. Those 2 months.
Yeah, I heard if the Fed's going to continue to sell the bonds off the way they say they are, that it's going to add about a 2.5% increase that no one's ever mentioned, right? Because the only when the federal government announced a rate, then we know, okay, they raise rates, but this is like a quiet rate, or an imaginary rate.
Well, because again, when the Fed speaks and they say we're going to raise rates a half or three quarters or whatever they want to do when they want to do it, that's major news. But do you know how much the Fed sold off in bonds last month or last quarter?
No.
I don't know that that's actually published in a usable format anywhere, but you can see that it's happening. And specifically, if you go back to March when they actually started selling bonds, the market changed hugely.
So that meeting September 21st for the, you know, as far as raising rates. So there's a 54% chance that it's going to be raised by 50 basis points, and there's a 45% chance by 0.75 basis points, or 0.75%.
So
it's almost 50-50.
Let's read between the lines. Chairman Powell says they're going to take a hard line at increasing rates and controlling inflation, so we know they're going to go up. And at the same time, are you feeling inflation in your personal budget, Tom?
Yes.
Russ, are you feeling personal inflation?
Yes, of course, yes.
Okay, so we all as consumers know there's inflation, whether somebody in the White House wants to say it's zero inflation or not, whether we go, oh, wow, it went from something in the nines to something in the eights. Do we really believe all the stats they put out anymore?
No.
Because of all the revisions.
They're playing games. We know they adjust to make it look better.
Because they've even changed the formula from when it was used.
Yeah.
So we know there's inflation. And at the same time, we know the only two ways that I can foresee, and I, you know, when you do the reading, it's not mine, but it's the only two I believe in. You have to make debt more expensive, or you have to get more people unemployed. And those are the only two ways to get people to quit spending money. Mm-hmm. If people don't work and don't have a job, they don't spend money. Or if you make the debt way more expensive, people are going to slow down their spending. So, Russ, if you went to buy that bike and you could only finance it and it was 100% interest, would you have bought it?
No.
Weird. And you paid cash for it.
Yeah.
So you bought it.
Yeah.
Thanks for ruining our economy and causing inflation to keep going up.
You're welcome.
So, you know, again, but debt is going to get more expensive. Let's talk about more expensive debt and all things else. Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Hey, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek, Tom, talking money talk and credit and all things inflation.
You're depressing me today.
We are.
So yeah. The fact checker came out with some numbers. We talked about the debt being at $30 trillion. Does include Medicare and Social Security.
Right.
Say that number again, Russ.
The Social Security was $22.13 trillion, and the Medicare liability is $34.445 trillion. We need to get rid of old people.
So basically, if you add those all together, it's about $100 trillion total.
With 30, all three 60, of them. With the 80, with the, about, well, about 80, I'm close to 100, yeah, it's getting up there, it's 85,
with
80,
the 30 trillion we have now.
86 trillion. Yeah, 30 plus 34, so 64 trillion plus 22 yeah,
105
is...
105 or something?
No, 86 trillion. Yeah.
For everybody who's not in the studio, watching these two go back and forth on math is kind of
fun. He's a math guy.
But so talk about when you say debt. Look, let's boil this back down to something that's understandable for us and for everybody else. You can only spend what you make. You and I, as a consumer, Russ, if you made $40,000 a year, can you spend $80,000?
Of course.
You can, but how many years could you do that and keep racking up the credit before it causes an issue?
They'll stop me at some point, and within a year or so, it'll say, done, you're
and,
done.
And that's the problem is, in my industry, we have to have what's called the ability to repay. For crying out loud, you go get a mortgage loan, and you have to prove. I mean, for anybody who's done a mortgage in the last 10 years, it feels like a root canal, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, give me your pay stubs, your bank statements, your tax returns, your second grade report card, a DNA sample, for crying out loud.
Dr.
Egbert. And prove that you have the ability to repay this, and there doesn't look like there's any reason that it's going to go sideways, but yet, as student loans, you can take out as much as you want with a signature. As a society, we can put upwards of some, depending on whose math of you guys you believe, somewhere between 80 and 100. You know, where do we say, wait a minute, we got to do a personal family budget, a one-page budget on our income and expenses as a country?
Right. We don't. But
we don't.
I know. But that's what Congress used to be responsible to do. But.
Weird. Yeah. You said used to and responsible in the same sentence. They used to be responsible for that. We used to have, I mean, remember the old terminology, a balanced budget?
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard about a balanced budget?
When was the last time we did a budget?
Yeah, some years they didn't even show it, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was just continuing resolutions and stuff.
So there's this ability to repay, you know, when you look at, Russ, you've paid into Social Security for decades.
Many years, 40 okay. years. 40.
Are you expecting money back?
I already know what it's going to be. I watch it all the time. I know.
Okay.
I've got it coming. I'm counting on it. I look at it.
And what happens if they make a change? I'm not saying they're going to, but what happens if they make a change? Are you okay?
Well,
if they cut it and they gave you 70%?
No, it would be devastating, and I would have to make sure that my granddaughter has a great skill that can support us all.
And again, you know, you say, wait a minute, you've got people who pay in for 30, 40, 50 years. And what, Tom, you alluded to is there's some people, that's all they have. They didn't actually do anything different. They didn't budget. They didn't save for one reason or another. Could be just have been not paying attention.
Lack
could have been ignorance.
Lack of knowledge.
Could have been something medical. Could have been a death, a divorce. You don't know. But there's people who literally that's what they have for retirement.
Yeah.
And the amount of inflation that we're running is going to wipe them out 20, 30 years from now. And
And we've taken those funds and we've destroyed them. I mean, what they were originally designed to do, and we kept adding. And now you can come in from Mexico and get entitlements that I had to work 40 years
now,
for.
Now, wait a minute. Say it isn't so. Didn't we used to say there was a lockbox around Social Security and you couldn't even take the funds out that they would grow for the benefit of Social Security only?
That used to be a political thing. Yeah, I think even Al Gore had the lockbox suggestion going, but it's all been a lie, and they've tapped it, obviously.
The other thing is, with all these immigrants coming in, especially the kids that don't have parents, I mean, what's the cost of raising a kid to 18, they actually just came out with a number. It's about 300,000.
Yeah.
That's assuming.
And I only charge my kids half that.
An American household.
and they're better off for it.
Well, I tell them they owe me.
Do you give them a free bike?
No.
You should.
Not anymore.
You should.
They're done.
So, you know, you look at what things can you and I do. We can banter this on air all day long. We can't change inflation. Can't change necessarily national politics and the government.
No.
What can we change? We can one at a time look at our own budgets and make sure that we're okay, our friends, our family, our coworkers, those people we care about are okay. And I'm going to go back and say, Russ, I know you do it. Tom, I'm pretty sure you and your wife do it. Do you do a budget?
Yep.
Do you make sure that if you can rearrange things, you do? Do you pay attention to where you're allocating some of your resources and you say, look, If I can save whatever your number is, 10, 15, 20% a month, great. And if you're not saving it, let's say Tom sets a threshold that he's going to save 10% of his income. If it dips down to 5%, should he be pissed and start canceling Hulu and Netflix and some of those other things?
Yeah, but I wish it worked that way. It doesn't. Most people will wait, you know, 6 months and realize maybe I should.
Look at Tom bringing in reality.
Hey, I got this thing that you just kind of talked about. You just mentioned what you just talked about. It's called 8 Tips for Times During Inflation and a Market Correction. So the first tip is revisit your cash flow, which you just said. So I'm very proud that you didn't see this ahead of time.
I didn't.
You nailed it. The second thing they said is review good and bad debt and basically try to figure out how to get rid of the, you know.
What's good and bad debt? What do you mean?
Well, it's debt that has higher interest rates. And what's considered bad, I don't know if there's a rule of thumb, but probably anything above 6%, 7% is probably bad debt. Is that what you think? Or what?
Concentrate on them.
I think that's probably.
10% maybe?
I think 10.
Yeah. So basically, because that's what's slowly going to be eating into your numbers. Now, the other thing they mentioned, item number 3, and I got this off of a newsletter I get, is open an equity line of credit. You ever think that would be on there?
No,
I didn't think that would be on there. Now, so I would say please be intelligent with it, because there's some people that have it as a backup plan, and there's some people that use it as a, look, I just got a $100,000 year raise, and let me go get a razor and a boat and a car, et cetera.
No question.
Well, what they're saying is have it as a backup plan in case, you know, either one of you get laid off or something, or you get hours cut back. Basically have it as just a cushion. Don't go buy stuff with it. Wow. So how about, now what does that entail? Let's just say I have enough in my house to do a $100,000 line of credit. And that's something you could do. Is that an easier loan to get than?
No.
I don't know much about it.
It's not an easier loan to get because, and again, if you say, here's the difference, HELOAN, HELOC. So a HELOAN that is a fixed debt, you know, with a normal amortization payment like you and I are used to on a 30-year loan, the ability to repay rules come in, which means all of the same regulations that you and I have to go through apply. Now, a HELOC, a line of credit, the open-ended lines of credit don't have all of those other regulations. So a line of credit that can allow you to get more into trouble is actually less regulated than a HELOAN.
Wow. And you do pay a service fee for that just to maintain, even if you take no money.
What's average service fee on $100,000 if you had to throw out a number?
You know what? You see them all over the place. So it's going to base on your credit score, your equity left in the property. You know, there's some lenders out there that'll let you go up to 100% of the value of your home. I promise you those service fees and rates are way more expensive. There's other investors that are going to say, you know what, we want you to stop at 80%. We won't let you go over 80%, and you have to have at least a 740 FICO. Those are going to be very minimal. However,
but what's minimal, like $500?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, that in that range, and you're going to see interest rates that are in the 4, 5, 6s. However, let's look at when you say line of credit, those are adjustable.
Yeah.
So when rates keep going up, guess what's going to happen to that line of credit?
Are they usually adjustable annually or every 5 years, or just depends?
It's based on whatever the index is that institution ties them to. So it literally could go up in a month or in 3 months, or some of them are tied to an annual.
Yeah. Now,
read the fine print.
My fact checker has answered some questions you guys asked.
Oh, yeah? Go ahead.
The cost per illegal child in the United States cost taxpayers $1,890 a day per child.
And that's going to stay that way till they're 18?
Well, I mean, at some point it's going to be foster care or something, which, of course, is going to change things. But that's with the U.S. government holding a child almost $2,000 a day per child.
So if you do the math on that, you're looking at...
The last U.S. balanced budget was in 1998 with Bill Clinton as president, a Republican Congress under Newt Gingrich.
So that's almost $700,000 a year to keep a kid?
Yeah. Well, while it's in custody.
Maybe they can move into my house and I'll take half of that.
You should.
How many would you like to move in, Tom?
Put a bid together.
All my kids are gone, so I could fit quite a few.
Well, the government knows how to. And I'm sure there's contractors that take care of this for that kind of money.
I'm sure there is.
And they're probably friends to somebody, you know, politically.
So item number 4, they want you to basically have means for money if you need it, if you have a shortfall. So item number 4, a saying is you can put a margin on your non-retirement stock mm-hmm. account. So instead of selling stock and the market's down, which you probably don't want to sell right now, you can do a margin against the stock, and that would be some liquidity there. It's not the best way to do it because
yeah, there's some risk involved.
The average margin rate's like 10% plus.
Yeah.
But it is a loan, a way to get funds out without yeah. selling, by the way. Then the last one is basically make sure you have an emergency fund. Now, the emergency fund is different for different people. The rule of thumb is to have about 6 months of all your bills and what you spend every month socked away somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you're
like say under your mattress or
say
something.
It's $6,000 a month, then you need
Folgers
about
coffee can
$36,000 socked away. Now yeah. you're not going to get there immediately, but if you put away $300-$400 a month and did that for the last 4 years, you'll be there.
Oh yeah,
but that's that paying attention and being just a little bit more prepared. And I think that's what we all need to do because you and I can't control what a gallon of gas costs. Well, can't control what our electricity is going to cost. Can't control what, you know, food's going to be at the grocery store. But if you take the time to start saving today, and you may not need to, you may not need to do this, but you probably should because who knows what's going to happen next week, next month, next year.
We don't know. So, we can control our spending, not all the other
correct.
Factors.
So I read a couple things about how people think. And a lot of times people think if my bank account gets to $10,000, I'm more likely to buy that TV or spend it because you have a thing in your head like, hey, I want to keep at this level. Yeah. So what they actually tell you to do is your savings accounts, get it away from the banks. And if you're gonna you know, save for a rainy day in 3, 4, 5 years from now or have to put a new roof on your house, basically invest the money, in my opinion. Don't go all stocks, but you probably get a better return than the banks, which are getting you close to zero.
Right.
So if you invested it like a conservative retired person, you might make 2-4%, which is better than bank. But then you don't look at your bank account and say, oh, I got $20,000 in there because it's somewhere else and you don't see it. A little trick. And we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 560 AM.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, Derek Eggeberg here, talking about what's going on out in the financial world. So the last thing they want you to do when you're trying to manage high inflation and a market correction, which we are in a recession right now. The market is down. The number six is consider working a bit longer. So basically what that's saying is
I'm already doing that.
You might have to work longer on your retirement plan, you know, an extra year or two.
And that depends on the job, though. I mean, like, look, I could work forever because I'm not out in the sun or, you know, with a
digging
shovel
a ditch
or putting a roof on a house. I mean, it depends on career path on whether you can do that. I mean, some's going to wear you out. I mean, for me, I just talk.
But you can always reinvent yourself. Like, I know people, clients that have actually retired from a legit profession, and then they go off and find another job that kind of keeps them happy. They're not making a ton of money.
Yeah.
Maybe working 2-3 days a week for 4 or 5 hours a day. And that actually adds a lot.
Like Joe Biden.
Yeah. That adds a lot to the spending money. So you don't have to pull as much out of your retirement money.
Yeah.
So that sometimes makes sense.
If you stay physically capable and there's a job that you can fit into, yeah.
Are you committed to working till when? 60, 70, 80, 90?
I don't see an end.
Okay.
To it at this point. There's no reason.
But that's also because you enjoy what you're doing. So you're not,
right.
You know, you hear a lot of people again say, well, I'm coasting. I'm planning my exit strategy. I'm retiring in 2 years.
And I think that's a typical. That's normal, I think. I think that's normal.
But where did that come from?
I don't know.
You know, again, where did we get to say, and look, I want everybody to get there, but where did we ever get to the point of, hey, I only have to work 40 hours a week and I only have to work 20 years and then I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, forever.
But I think it's ingrained in your DNA. I think all three of us in this room probably would never stop working.
You'll never stop
doing something.
You'll be doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm a non-essential employee during the day. I mean, I can come and go as I want. I'm not critical to the operation. I'm still there and I still have some function, but I'm not critical.
Yeah.
Why can't I just keep going until I'm 90?
You see yourself retiring, calling quits?
I don't. I enjoy what I do, and I enjoy helping people. I don't know that I'll ever stop. But again, it's just interesting. You look at the psychology of what we as a society have said, and where did 40 hours a week come from? Some governmental regulation. I don't know. But we think we only have to work 40 hours, punch in, punch out, and we only have to work 20 years. And then we can ride off into the sunset.
Right.
So you compare the Americans to the Europeans, we're overworked. I mean, 48, you know,
I know,
40 hours a week. I mean, they think we work too much. But here's the big difference. We get sucked into buying stuff and getting debt. And I don't think a lot of the Europeans live a little bit more simple life where they will ride a bike, don't need a car, and they don't get sucked into the consumer, right?
Good job, Russ. Good job.
I'm so European
about
now.
Moving to Europe? Hey.
No.
He's got a little basket up front, bottle of wine, some cheese.
Bread.
He's good.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
But don't you think it's true, though? Like, people, I might see my nieces and nephews that have recently graduated and now they got their first job. And pretty quickly, they got a big SUV and they got a house in a better house that I lived in at that age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they just get sucked into the debt.
And people
trap.
Start buying cars based on their income. You get a job, I need a better car. I don't understand that, but that's normal. It's very normal.
Or they buy a car to make themselves feel good. You know, again, doing loans. And look, I'm not going to judge it. I'm not judging
it's
it.
Fine.
But there are people who are literally driving more than their net worth, and they really can't afford anything else, and they're missing payments on credit cards, but they got that really shiny car because it gives off the impression.
It's a feel-good thing. I mean, you know,
it is.
People go to Starbucks every day, and you look in the line of people driving through. I mean, I don't want to judge anybody, but I would say a lot of them, you know, probably are just working people, but they don't realize what they're spending monthly, mm-hmm. and it makes them feel good. They got Starbucks.
It is really interesting when you see, and again, one of my really good friends used to have a couple of coffees a day, and you say, okay, well, you know, let's pretend it's $5 times two, there's $10 a day, you get 20 working days a month, so you're doing $200 to $300, but minimum $200 in coffee a month. What could you do with $200? There's where you start putting away your 6 months worth of bills. And again, I think it's just that. Do you have a written budget? Do you have a savings account with 6 months worth of bills? Are you actually spending less than you make so you can give some over to Tom and invest it? And I don't think most people do.
So one of the best moves I've ever made is I was one of those guys that would go to Starbucks, not every morning, but usually. So I had a thing. Back then they opened at 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So if you walked through the door at 5:01, they were never ready for coffee. So they would give the first one away free.
Oh.
So I realized that. So I'd be parking in the parking lot about 4:58.
Free's a good price. I would do those all day.
Like, oh, you got to wait. Okay. Anyways, they let on what I was doing, and they stopped that. But I will say—
I wondered why they called him cheap. Holy—
Now he's over at Sam's Club, yeah. Isn't it?
Hey, dude, it's not cheap. It's a little game, right? It's all about a game. But, hey, so what we ended up doing is we actually went to Amsterdam, my wife and I, on a trip over there, and we found this espresso. We're in this hotel, and it was just great coffee. So we looked it up online back over here, and we bought this espresso machine. So the pods are about $1, I mean, which are, you know— But the point is, now we're drinking this pretty good, I think, great coffee. So we didn't change our habit. We still want good coffee, but we eliminated Starbucks.
Yeah, I talk to people all the time. I say, you know, they do Starbucks, and like, okay, if it's $5, and it's more than that, but $5, do you realize that's like $100 a month?
Yeah.
They go, no, it's only $5.
And again, no disrespect to Starbucks or any of the local coffee shops. I mean, go support your local people, but it's just— We have such a hard time as Americans to say, how does this equate to a monthly or an annual budget? Whether it's the interest carrying cost on your credit card, your mortgage, your coffee.
But I am a coffee drinker, and if I don't have my coffee, I feel on edge.
I get coffee every morning here for free. The company buys pods, and I use them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like I have to get a specialized—
Yeah, Keurig or something?
It is Keurig. It's in the back.
Yeah.
And I take advantage.
You guys are bougie. You and your pods.
You have them.
Well, I have them out front for the customer. I make pots of coffee in the back. You know, grounds, the old school. Get a paper filter.
Are you a big coffee guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Come on over. Have a cup of coffee. But I don't use bougie pods.
You know what I started doing a lot now is tea. I didn't realize all the different flavors of tea. So
you're becoming European. Get a bike.
Okay. So next week, I want to see a bike rack out front, and you two can lock your bikes together with one chain, and it'll just be a beautiful thing.
That's wonderful, right?
I did notice yours is in the lobby, not parked outside.
Yeah, because I don't care about the carpet. I don't own it.
So one thing we want listeners to understand is the talk on the street, and no one knows for sure, but they think gas doesn't get back up above $5.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have read that.
It's artificially being held down right now. You know, we're taking stuff out of the oil reserves, and there's a lot of artificial things holding it down that's very temporary.
Yeah.
And temporary. It was just for the election.
The thing I read is Iran's going to try to not be as friendly flowing out the oil to try to, you know, pinch it to people they don't like us.
I understand that Biden's been making some concessions, nuclear concessions and other things, in order to get some more drilling stuff over there that's kind of not in the news, but it's out there.
Yeah. And I would tell listeners, you watch these food prices come November, December, January, February, you're going to be, I think, amazed at meat prices and anything to do with grain.
Yeah, we all need to give up eating, you know.
let's slow down on that. But you're right. And again, it goes back to the whole supply chain globally. We've wrecked and ruined a few things, but look at how long it's taking to get, and you were talking about this on the break, this is not food, but how many auto manufacturers are sitting on huge gluts of inventory because of chips?
Yeah.
Now,
they made the cars, no chips to put in them.
Okay, so at some point, you got to get the chips and you got to start selling those.
You got to overflow new cars hit the market. So I read a thing that said that a lot of the people overpaid for a used car, because the used car market was through the, you know, best it's ever been, I think.
Yeah,
so when these new cars start hitting the market, which are going to have a big overflow because they're just sitting waiting for the chip, like that's saying a lot of these Americans might either turn that car back or just stop the payment and give it back and go for the newer car, because they're going to realize that it's equivalent to the used car.
The car industry is terrible right now. I mean, there's, you know, reduction in new cars.
I still drive by the parking lots and they're about half full, if that.
Well, so obviously their sales are down. Sales are way down on cars.
Yeah.
And their prices keep going up, though. And look at the prices of the electric vehicles that they don't have, but their prices keep going up.
You know what's funny is I talked to a couple of the sales reps of some of these dealers, and even though the supply is not good and the prices are high, a lot of the sales reps are saying, hey, I'm having one of the best years I've had in like 10 years. I don't know if...
They're still selling used cars or something.
I think when they hit the lot, they get sold quicker, maybe.
Well, keep in mind, a lot of them are actually ordered, and you have no carrying costs. You don't have flooring expenses for a lot of these dealers.
And now you say that, one of them said they order a car, and they don't know if it's going to be 6 months, 18 months, or 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And they're not really negotiating the price as much as they have in years past.
Like, here's the price, take it or leave it.
Like, what's your best price? 10% over retail. Right. And there's been some of that gouging going on in some models, you know.
Hey, so with California saying that they, by 2035, they don't want to make any gas-powered cars or have them, what do you think that's going to do to your industry? You guys have to be talking about it.
Well, it's going to mean more used cars on the lot. It may help us for a while. You know, there's going to be fewer.
Because don't you think these electric cars company are going to somehow try to push you guys out from being knowledgeable on how to work an electric car?
Oh, no. No,
I mean, you can't. I mean, a lot of these guys around town aren't Tesla certified, right?
No, you have to get certified. Yeah. We're not, but that's going to happen.
Is anybody in town that you know of? I don't know.
It's going to happen at some point. You got about 20 seconds.
Okay, well, so things are changing pretty fast here, and we'll keep you guys in the loop here next time we meet. This is Money Talk. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Stay safe. Stay cool.
Opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.